the presidential election, how should believers respond? And you figure, well, where are you going to get any information on that out of the scriptures? Well, there's more there than you think. I laid in bed with Jane last night. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, I just thought of another thing. And it just kept unfolding. I says, I keep on, I'll be preaching for 2 hours. She says, oh, brother. But first of all, how should we respond? Now, I'm going to be speaking and bringing out some principles that is going to be hard to take. We all know that this election was crooked. We know that. And we're not certain which way we're headed in as far as this vice president or the president-elect is concerned. But we need to go into the scriptures and say, well, how should we respond to all of this? Let's begin by looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll just look at a portion of it. We'll be coming back to 1 Peter 2, Romans 13, all throughout the message. Look at verse 11. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable also among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, in our text here, it's obvious that Peter's talking about submission. Submission to authorities in government, and even submission to masters when they had slaves. And all of this is in context of suffering. When people look at Christians, they shouldn't find them slandering political leaders are starting riots to overthrow the government, although you feel like doing that. Even in a case of injustice, such as persecution or slavery. Remember in this context, Nero was on the throne, and Christians were being thrown to the lions and burned at the stake. It seems like an ideal time to fight back, but that is not what Peter teaches the Christians to do. He tells them to submit to the unjust authorities and leadership. In this passage, we will learn why Christians should submit even to unjust authorities and see how they should be known for their submission. They should not be known for complaining or arguing or starting protests, but by the beauty of having a submissive heart. Amen. Your outline shows you how I hope try to open up our study. I want to first of all look at the fact that the believer's response should be governed by the sovereignty of God. The believer's response should be governed by the sovereignty of God. And then we'll look at the second line of thought. The believer's response should be a submissive response to the sovereignty of God. First of all, the believer's response should be governed by the sovereignty of God. Go over to Romans chapter 13, please. Romans 13. Verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will be bring judgment on themselves. So we see that God chooses the leadership over the nations of the world. We also see that in our text in Romans, or in 1 Peter, verse 13, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good, for this is the will of God. So we see, first of all, in responding to the sovereignty of God, we got to remember that God chooses the leadership over the nations of the world. And notice in Romans 12:13, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. No matter every nation right now today, every leader. Now, don't ask me questions. What about the, I'm not God. I don't know. I just know that this says he appoints the leadership over every nation. So we need to respond. Do you believe in the sovereignty of God? This is a good test of it. Secondly, God not only chooses the leadership, but God sometimes chooses the most unscrupulous to be the leaders of the nations of the world. For that, we need to jump all the way over to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. This is from Nebuchadnezzar. After he was broken, he was told that he was going to be broken. He's looked out over Babylon. Is this not great Babylon that I have built? And therefore he's judged, and he's out in the wilderness eating grass like an animal. But then God finally brings him out of that, and he learns so much stuff. Notice what he learned. Verse 17, the decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he wills, and sets over it the lowest of men, And we could comment on that, but I'm not going to do that because I'm trying to stay away from that very thing. So we see, first of all, the believer's response should be governed by the sovereignty of God. We believe strongly in the sovereignty of God in everything, and we see that he's sovereign as far as the leadership of all the nations of this world. Secondly, the believer should be submissive response to the sovereignty of God. Look at the various commands given. First of all, Timothy 3:1, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. In the New Testament, incidents that where the word submit occurs, comes from the Greek word hupostazo. I really know stuff. Hupo means under, and the tasso means to arrange. So the word and the root of it is translated by the word subject or submit. The word in full meaning is to obey, to put under, be subject to, to put in subjection under, or to under obedience, or to obey. It was a military term used to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion as a under the command of a leader. This word is the definition of what it means to submit to God. It means to arrange oneself under the command of divine viewpoint rather than live according to one's old way of life based on human viewpoint. It is a process of surrendering our own will to that of our Heavenly Father. Remember when Jesus was before Pilate, and Pilate said to him, "You don't answer me?" Because he asked him all kind of questions and he refused to answer him. Pilate says, "Don't you refuse to answer me? I have power to turn you loose or to crucify you." Jesus said, "You would have no power unless it was given to you from above. Unless God appointed you to where you are right now, you wouldn't have power to do anything." Again, 1 Peter 2:13-17, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it is to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people." 1 Peter 5:5, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." The theme here is one of humility. We cannot submit to God, and we will not submit to God without humility. Obedience requires us to humble ourselves, to surrender to the authority of another. And we are told that God resists pride, the opposite of humility, and the arrogance that fosters that pride. Therefore, having a humble and submissive heart is a choice we must make. This means as born-again believers, we daily make a choice to submit ourselves to God for the work of the Holy Spirit. Go over to Romans chapter 12, please. We were in 13. Jump over to Romans 12. Having laid out the gospel full blown in the book of Romans up to this point, Paul tells us there's things we need to do. Look at verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." In other words, we are to climb up on that altar of sacrifice, lay our own self on that altar of sacrifice, and commit everything about us to the Lord. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be pressed into its mold. The world is trying to press us into its mold to adopt the principles of this fallen world. Paul says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorphosized. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, that we will see what God's will is and we will submit ourselves to the will of God. That's the first step. Because in being submissive to God. So we looked at some of the various commands. Let's look at the reasons stated. Believers should submit to the governing authorities because it honors God. 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority. The first reason believers are called to submit is because the law of the Lord. Peter says we should submit for the Lord's sake. This is the reason that believers can demonstrate lives full of submission, even in the midst of persecution. It's because they live a life of submission to the Lord. Secondly, believers should submit to the governing authorities because of the reasons that they were established. God established governing authorities for two reasons: to punish wrongdoing and to regulate the laws of the land. Look at chapter Romans 13 again, would you please? Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. In fact, we see the first establishment of human government after the flood of Noah. The people in society against whom the government moves are those who do the evil deeds and defy the law, who break the law. I wish that was true all the time. And the apostle says they have reason to have a certain amount of terror, for rulers are to bring terror on those who do evil. In other words, the government, to do its work, must put fear in the hearts of evildoers. That's a very basic factor. And we are well aware of what happens in a government doesn't put fear into the hearts of the people. The results of that are indeed tragic. We saw what happened out west when they wanted to defund the police, and many of the police resigned. Do away with the police. We'll just have civilians take over. And you saw that the chaos that resulted as a result of that. So we see that believers should submit because of the reasons they were established. Thirdly, believers are submit to the human government because failing to do so is the fight against the ordinances of God. That's one we need to hang on to. We're fighting against the ordinances of God. Look at Romans 13 again. Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. There's no authority except that what God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. And when we resist that, we are resisting God's ordinance. We're fighting against God. Remember again in John 9:11-10, Pilate said, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus said, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. So even wicked Pilate was appointed by God. There is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. In this passage, Peter talks about the reason we have to choose to submit to God. It's the process of learning in order to grow spiritually. It's a process begun at salvation, ongoing with each and every choice we make to submit ourselves to God. He has established for two reasons, as we said, to punish wrongdoing and to keep everything in check in relationship to the people. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 13, 4 and 5. For he is God's minister to you for good. If you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. There he's talking about what we'd call the cops. We didn't carry a sword, but we carried a gun. Do you want to be afraid of for as God's minister, for you not bear the sword in vain? For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. One of the reasons we should submit to government because we understand their purpose. They are given for the purpose of deterring sin and for promoting righteousness. They deter sin by discipline and encourage righteousness through commendation or reward. We find in Romans that even the unbeliever knows right from wrong. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 14. For on Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these also not having the law are a law unto themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness between themselves, and their thoughts accusing or excusing them. And the day when God will judge the secrets of men's heart, Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. In other words, we all know right from wrong. Before we were saved, we knew there was things that were wrong. We knew it was wrong to steal. We knew it was wrong to commit murder. We knew that because the law was written in our hearts even before we were saved. The unregenerate world has the law of God written in their hearts, the knowledge of good and evil. That's part of conscience. That's part of what we call in theology natural revelation, as opposed to special revelation, which is Scripture. So the governor of man knows the difference between good and evil. Even pagans understand basic morality through human reasoning and natural revelation, through common grace. They understand what is basic morality. Thirdly, if we go over to 1 Peter again, believers should submit to authority to quiet those who are antagonistic against Christianity. Believers should submit to authorities to quiet those who are antagonistic toward Christianity. Look at Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to king or to supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for punishing evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. One of the reasons for our submission should be to silence the ignorant talk of foolish men, those who are unbelievers. No doubt many of these Christians, again, were being mocked, passed over by promotion, persecuted. Nero actually cursed the Christians to use them as scapegoat for the great fire in Rome that he himself set. He accused them of starting the fire and also angering the gods because the Christians wouldn't worship them. These Christians bore the sting of unjust accusations and slander because of their beliefs and their chaste lives. Instead of responding with disobedience or anger, they were to respond with a submissive spirit, would eventually quiet the mouths of those who cursed Christianity and the God of Christianity. The word silence is the word muzzle. It means to put it, make a person incapable of responding. Yes, believing in a resurrected Lord, a seven-day creation, may seem foolish, but the Christians live such wonderful lives. It silences the lies and the accusation against them and shows the beauty of Christ. This would even be more important in a society where Christianity is not accepted but rejected as foolishness. Paul put it this way. Look at Romans chapter 12, please. Verse 19 through 21. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. That's verse 9. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Blessed are those who persecute you and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion, and repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul said, by submitting to your enemy and serving them, you actually heap burning coals on their head. You make it very hard for them to speak against you. In fact, you muzzle them, making it impossible to speak harshly against you. Fourthly, believers should submit to authorities because of conscience' sake. Look at chapter 13 of Romans, verse 5. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. We must needs to be subject not only because God's wrath could fall on us, but we want to have a pure conscience. I think we all realize and know what it's like to have a conscience that's not clear, that's not pure. It bothers you. The Spirit of God just don't let you rest because you know you've done wrong. If that don't happen, there's something wrong when you walk with the Lord. Number 5. Believers should submit to authorities because of the example of Christ. Another reason Paul gives for submitting to authorities, especially unjust authorities, is the example of Jesus. Let us remember that Christ lived the perfect life of submission. It was submission that sent him to the cross. He submitted to the Father's will. He did not complain when things got bad or became angry with God. No, he submitted to the Father. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if, because of conscience towards God, you endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten by your fault, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in their own body on the tree, that having died for sins, we might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For we were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of our souls. He did not just submit to the Father. He submitted to the unjust authority and suffered for us. Believers should submit to authorities by praying for them. By praying for them. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1, therefore I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the will of God, that we pray for them. We need to pray for President-elect Biden and his people in his outfit and his administration. Remember this, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. He turns it like a water course. He turns it in whatever direction he wants to. So despite what the President Biden may be thinking about doing, we should pray for him that God might do that, might turn his heart to do what's right rather than to do what's wrong. So please keep that in mind. This is what next one is the one I thought about when I was laying in bed last night. And it's one that's really tough to put into practice. Go over to Acts 23, please. We should not speak, believers should submit to authorities by not speaking evil of them. Sometimes that's pretty hard. Look at chapter 23 of Acts. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by to strike him on the mouth. And Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. For you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law?" And those who stood by said, "Do you revile God's high priest?" And Paul said, "I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" And that comes right from Exodus 22, verse 28. Then lastly, we see the exceptions considered. Are there any exceptions to us not submitting to the governing authorities over us? When the government authorities pass laws or make demands upon us that are contrary to the clear teaching of the laws and principles of God's word, we are not to submit to those. We see that back in Daniel with the three Hebrew children, that Nebuchadnezzar put up this big idol and he said, every time you hear the bells ringing and the trumpets playing, you need to bow down and worship them. And they wouldn't do it. So he cast them in the burning fire. But God protected them. And we see that with the apostles in Acts chapter 5, where when they were warned that they were not to go and to teach and preach this Christ, remember what Peter said, we have to obey God rather than men. That's the exception. We have to obey God rather than men. So I hope the studies have helped you a little bit in trying to understand what God's word has to say. A lot of it's pretty hard to consider. Much of it is hard to do. But Lord, if we want to be well-pleasing to the Lord, we will seek by God's grace to put these things into practice. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time together. Thank you for the directives you give us from your holy word. Much of it, something we haven't really understood before. So I pray in Jesus' name that we would go over all of these things. And by your grace and the work of the Holy Spirit, we would seek to submit to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.